Wow, aren't they fantastic? They're such wonderful people, such beautiful voices, and that's why the first time that Carol heard me sing, she invited me to join someone else's choir. We have a few people to remember in prayer today. Of course, we want to remember Earl. Is he able to have visitors yet, or? Yeah. Okay. So. Okay. So, if you do go, just say a short period of time. What about Dennis? Do we have an update on Dennis? I thought I saw Barbara here. So. There she is, right there. Okay. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. I appreciate that. And of course, Suman's back home, finally. And we thank God for that. There's so much going on, and it seems like people's health is kind of like a new frontier for attack by the enemy. Carrie, the young lady who was here last week, was sick while she was here, not sure what it was. She went and got antibiotics. She's still sick. She went to her doctor back in Minnesota, and she's been diagnosed with Lyme disease. So it's an ongoing thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the great I am. Whatever our need is, Father, whatever we lack, all we have to do is turn to you, and there you are, ready to say, I am your solution. I am your healer. I am your provider. Father, we love you. We want so much to be like you. And Father, these people that we've mentioned this morning and others that we haven't, we pray that you will touch their lives, touch their bodies, and hold their families close as only you can. And Father, as we move forward from this place, we go in a spirit of trust that you are looking out for each one of us. And most of all, Father, we ask that your will be done. Lord, I ask that you would be with this church, be with this church family, be with our district, our conference. Father, that we would have, first of all, a burden to be more like you and share the gospel to those who need you so badly. And Father, in this time, we pray just as you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. And for those of you who don't know, I struggle with that because I always, when I'm not up here, I say the Lord's Prayer in Spanish. So I'm trying to remember to say it in English. Say it in English. We have a real treat today. Our message is going to be brought today by Toni Grimmett. And if you don't know her, I'll tell you a little bit about her. You were born in East Texas? Georgia. I think I remember, yes. And you grew up in East Texas. Yeah, there we go. There we go. She had to come to God's country, finish growing up. She has a bachelor's degree from Wiley University in Marshall, and she has a master's degree from Wayne State University in Detroit, which is a pretty good accomplishment. She's the younger of two, brother or sister? Sister, with some lucky parents there. Had two girls, that's the way to do it. She has seven kids. That's an accomplishment in and of itself right there. She has three boys, four girls, 27 grandkids.
Wow.
And two great granddaughters. Her husband is a Methodist minister, and we're going to get to meet him pretty soon, I understand. Yes, fantastic. Tony worked for years and years and years until she retired from AT&T as a communications technician. And then she taught fifth grade social science for a while. And she served in just about every capacity you can serve in the church. She served on district level positions. She served in conference level positions. And one of the most important things is she's not only certified lay member, she's a certified lay teacher. So she has taught the principles of lay ministry many, many times. And I could go on and on and on, but the Cowboys play at noon. Let's go straight to our scripture. In Matthew, chapter 1 of Matthew, it was the lineage of Jesus. In chapter 2, we talked about, you know, his birth. In chapter 3, we talked about his oneness with God the Father. And in chapter 4, he begins his earthly ministry. In verse 18 in Matthew 4, it says, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in the boat with their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left their boat, they left their father, and they followed him. And these are the words of our Lord."
Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are omnipotent. You are good. You are gracious. I want to thank you for today. And I want to thank you for everything that you have given us and that you are going to give us. I want you to wrap your arms around the federal, the state, and the local governments. They need your help, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the people here today, my family and friends. And Lord, may I use your words and your will and not mine. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What Bob forgot to tell you is that I'm going to be longer than 12 o'clock because I don't follow football. Also, in Michigan, I work with the Emmaus community, and I'm an advocate on people going to Emmaus. The women's walk this year here in North Texas. It's going to be November, I think, the 7th through the 10th. So if you'd like to go to the Emmaus Walk or know, or like to find out about it, see me. And I will get you in touch with who you need to get in touch with to go to the Emmaus Walk. And I want the men and the women to know Emmaus is not about the Methodist Church. It's about all religions and how they can find, a person can find their spiritual walk with God. Talking about walks, I thought about this and then I said, no, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to try this little joke on you. I was walking through a monastery, and in walking through the monastery, I walked through the kitchen, and I saw a man cutting up potatoes and throwing them in the fryer. So I asked him, are you the fryer? And his reply was, no, I'm the chipmunk. You can have whatever. Last week, Ben spoke about being called, and that if you're not called, I'm sorry, if you don't answer God's call, there are consequences. My husband Carter was called several times, and like most people, he ignored the call of God. One day he fell, face down, and he couldn't get up until he said, yes, Lord, yes. I will follow you. Please lead me. 5 years later, he graduated from seminary. And as Ben said, he is now a United Methodist minister. He still faced stumbling blocks, but not as high and not as hard. He finally saw the light at the end of his tunnel. Several weeks ago, I took a lay service course that is to recertify my certification. This course I took examined the book, The Faith Club. If you haven't read it, you should. And that's The Faith, F-A-I-T-H, Club. And that's by three women of three different faiths. There was Phyllis Warner, she's Jewish, and bless you. Then there was Suzanne Oliver, a Christian. I believe Suzanne was Catholic. And then there was, I hope I pronounce it right, Raya Idibi. She was Muslim. These women came together to write a children's book. The children's book was never written. But they were examining their faith and other faith, and how they are common but different. They didn't know each other. They didn't know if it would even work working together. They took a leap of faith to see and to experience and to find new friends and to know about other people and other faiths. 3 years later, they developed this book. It took a life of its own, and it was published. I don't know if anybody here has ever taken a leap of faith. I have, several times, many times, in fact. Last year in December, my husband came here to visit my daughter. While here, he and my daughter had a great idea. They went house hunting. That's fine. He came home to Michigan, and he said, Merry Christmas. Here's your Christmas present. He had bought a house. So in January, I took a leap of faith that he found something that I may like. And on January 15th, my oldest daughter, her husband, my adopted son, we drove, I think it's about 1,300 miles, 19 hours, to Garland, Texas, and I moved into my house, sight unseen by me. I took a leap of faith that God would lead him in the right direction so that I would not be angry at him. Since then, with my GPS, I have found a church, this one, new friends, my favorite, well, one of my favorite malls. I love to shop. New doctors, my music instructor, and of course, my other favorite thing, restaurants. I don't like to cook. In the Bible, there were many stories of people taking leaps of faith. Joseph and Mary, they traveled miles to go to Bethlehem when she was 9 months pregnant to be counted in the first census. The three wise men followed a star, not knowing where it was going to lead them, to honor a newborn king. In Jesus' day, people took another leap of faith. This was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Let me set the scene for you. According to notes by the biblical scholar Reverend William Barclay, Jerusalem sits on a hill, which is 2,600 feet above sea level. Then there's Jericho, which is down by the Dead Sea, which is 1,300 feet below sea level. So in a span of 20 miles, you're talking about roughly 3,900 feet, and it's a deep and sharp decline. Now, Jesus told a story about a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this man was robbed. Now, this road, it winds and it twists as it goes down like a roller coaster. Now, the robbers lay wait on this man. When he came about, they attacked him. They beat him. They left him for dead. Another stranger took a leap of faith and helped this poor man. Another stranger took a leap of faith and believed that this man would return and pay him the money that was owed to take care of the first man. That's a leap of faith. In the fourth chapter of Matthew, Jesus called the first of his 12 disciples, Simon, called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John were all fishermen. They dropped their nets to follow Jesus because he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fisher of men." I want to ask you a question. If a total stranger came to you and said, "Drop everything, leave your house, leave your job, follow me," would you do it? I wouldn't do it. I would say, "This man's crazy." But they did. They took a leap of faith. And because of that, then there was Matthew, Thaddeus, Thomas, James, Simon, Philip, Bartholomew, and Judas. These 12 men dropped everything. Some changed their names to follow a belief, a movement, a man, a total stranger. They took a leap of faith to help shake up the establishment and share the good news with the Israelites and the Gentiles. The good news of Christ through Jesus Christ. Then there's Carl Albee. He grew up in the poorest section of East Cleveland, Ohio, the slums. He wanted to be a doctor, but raised by a single mother, she couldn't afford to send him to medical school or to college. So after high school, he became a mechanic. His business was so good that he was able to open his own mechanic shop. He decided to go to school to get a business degree to help him manage his shop. While there, as most people have gone to college, you have to take a biology course the first year. He opened that biology book and he knew what was missing in his life. Carl took a leap of faith. He dropped everything. And in 2018, he graduated from Northeast Ohio Medical School. And at 44, he became Dr. Carl Allaby, an emergency medical doctor at Cleveland Hospital in Akron, Ohio. He took a leap of faith because he followed Jesus and became a doctor. I want to tell you another true story about a woman who demonstrated her faith and her leap of faith. She was diagnosed with a strange virus that attacked the nervous system. And you know, when your nerves die, your muscles die. Your nerves tell your muscles what to do. So immediately the signal was lost somewhere. One morning I woke up, got out of bed, and like most of us, put my legs down, I'm getting ready to walk, and I fell. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up, couldn't sit down, I was just there. So my husband rushed me to the doctor. And they poked me, and they stuck me with needles. I got x-rayed and MRI. I can tell you what an x-ray machine looks like on the inside, outside, and all kinds of ways. Then to top it off, daughter number one was hollering, "Where is Dr. House? We need Dr. House." And I mean, she almost tore the hospital up yelling. For those who don't know, Dr. House is a fictitious doctor on television that in 1 hour, he comes in, finds the cure, cures the patient, and sends the patient home happy. That didn't happen to me. It took them 4 hours to find out what was wrong with me. I had Guillain-Barré. That's a diagnosis that paralyzes people. It starts from the hand and goes up, or it starts from the feet and go up. Mine went from the feet and went up. I was paralyzed in both legs. I don't know if the doctors found the cure for me or what was wrong with me to get rid of my daughter, or they really found the cure. So, for the next 5 weeks and several months, again, with the pills, the shots, the x-rays, the MRIs, I got tired and my butt was sore from the shots. The food in the hospital was nasty. The only good thing, I lost several dress sizes. In September 2017, the doctors told me, well, they told me before September, that I may never walk. And if I did, it would take about 10 years before I would walk. And that some people that had this Guillain-Barré died from it. But I had another doctor. that I believed in. And I took my faith. Every morning, I made sure that the blinds were up so I could see the sun, because I knew as long as I saw the sun and not dirt, I was okay. September 2017, I left the hospital walking with a walker. A couple of months later, after doing 3, 4, 5 months in physical therapy, I was on a cane. I had to get rid of the cane, it was too ugly. So I got a staff, because you know some of us, we just can't be ugly. We have to use everything pretty. And that's me. I did take a leap of faith. I knew that God and Jesus was on my side. I knew that every day they were there to hold me up. I want to tell you, even though I walk, and I was not supposed to walk, and in 5 months I was walking, as I said before, I'm still a little shaky. My balance is not 100%, but I'm here, standing. I took a leap of faith. I expect everyone here to take a leap of faith. We must all take a leap of faith and believe God, through Jesus Christ, will carry you through the highs and the low water marks in your life, the seen and the unseen. We must believe there is a light at the end of our dark tunnels. The closer you walk with God, the closer you walk in your faith, you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. Believe me, you will. But I must warn you, the road is not smooth. It will be rough. The going is tough, with bumps and holes and twists and turns. But if you take that leap of faith and stand firm in the power of God, you will experience the light beyond the dark tunnel. Please pray with me. God of power and might, please stay with all the true believers and those who choose not to believe. Give everyone the power of your will and the strength to take their leap of faith. Amen.